Hi, today is August 23rd, 2014, and this is Mobile Views Podcast number 92. This is Todd Ogasawara with my good friend John Westfall. And today we've got a mix of topics. We'll start off with a couple of Googly type things and then move on to Apple-y type things, I guess. But in any case, I just wanted to mention a couple of things real quick. And number one actually happened a few months ago, and that's Google Docs, which includes the word processor, you know, Docs itself, Sheets. And Sheets got offline capability, so you can actually work with your document or spreadsheet while you are disconnected from the network. And that's, you know, that's been one of the criticisms of going all cloud with Google, like with, say, a Chromebook or even Android tablet. They used to have something called Google Gears, which worked offline. But then that went away, and apparently it was really, really hard to do it again because it took, what, a couple of years for offline mode to come back? I think it's at least three or four years.
It's a very bizarre thing that we had it for a while.
Yeah.
And we had it with a solution that seemed to work pretty well. Gears seemed to be okay. And then Google kind of unilaterally said, well, we're moving to HTML5 and we're going to just kill Gears. And I think what would have seemed to have made sense to all of us would have been, okay, kill Gears after you have the HTML5 solution ready.
Right.
Really, it was the opposite. It was, we're going to kill Gears today.
Yeah.
And then in a few years from now, you might get this back.
Right. Well, and of course, you know, although it's not a Google thing, it's not without precedent. I mean, Microsoft eliminated a whole bunch of features from during their transition from Windows Mobile to Windows Phone. Some of which upset a lot of people, especially the enterprise type. So companies seem to be willing to do that these days, you know, do really to what I would say are user-hostile kinds of moves.
Although I'd argue that Microsoft had a bunch bigger backlash against it than Google, because Microsoft in the mobile sphere had really been really one of the only places that they were doing well was the enterprise.
Right.
You know, there were a lot of companies that liked the idea of deploying Windows Mobile instead of BlackBerry. And so they had done pretty well for themselves, I think. That was really the only area of the market they were doing really well for themselves. And then they decided to kill that, try to go after the consumer market base. And because everyone I see today owns a Windows phone, we can obviously tell they were very successful.
That's right.
In porting the Windows, you know, no one carries those iPhones or Android devices anymore.
Yeah, who uses that?
Yeah.
I mean, so, what is it? Windows Phone has, I think, a gigantic, what, 2% share of the market or something?
Well, you know, that means that for every 100 people you see, two of them really don't know what they're doing.
That's right.
But, you know, that's kind of a cruel thing to say. We do have friends that use Windows Phone.
Yeah, and we used to use it.
Yes, we did too, but,
Until we saw it really up close, and oh, what the heck?
No, it was because in that interim time, when they were figuring out what they were going to do, we unfortunately discovered Android and iOS.
Absolutely.
And that's just, you know, the story of Microsoft is being late to the party. But Google, I'm happy they brought back offline editing. I haven't played around with it much since it came back because I haven't used Google Docs as much as I used to. But when I wrote my my self-published novel a couple of summers ago, I wrote it, I think, almost completely in Google Docs, at least half of it. I think I did up to, I think it was 14 chapters. I think I did at least chapter 8 and 9 in Google Docs, and then I switched over to Word once I started trying to format it. But it's a nice product, and I'm happy to see that this is back because, obviously, internet is not everywhere these days. It's most places, but
it is still not
ubiquitous. You'll be offline.
Absolutely. And, you know, I should, one last rant about Windows Phone before I move on to the other googly topic is one of the reasons I switched away from Windows Phone is that I have two Windows Phones, but both from HTC. My Windows Phones, like every other Windows Phone 7 device, was not upgradable to 8.
Yep.
And when I figured, well, if I can't upgrade it, why don't I just get an Android device? These look pretty neat. So I bought a Nexus 4, and that's what I've been using ever since.
You know, I was going through, when I moved recently from Louisiana to Mississippi, I went through and cleared out. I sold a bunch of old hardware. I sold my Nexus 1, my T-Mobile G2, and a couple other devices I had. And I kept the Windows Phone 7, the HTC HD7, just because I like looking at it from time to time and going, Microsoft, you lost a bunch of people just by making this thing not upgradable. Because it was actually pretty decent hardware. and a nice experience. But yeah, same thing. When I found out I wasn't going to get anything past a couple of minor updates, it became not very attractive to keep using.
Yeah. Okay, enough ranting and raving about our former mobile platform. More googly things. So in June, I guess, Google announced Slides for Android to join Docs and Sheets. So now there's there's always a slide desktop experience where you could create the slide deck, you know, PowerPoint-like experience on the web. But now they've got an actual app, probably just a wrapper. I haven't really tried it. But it's free. So if you're interested, head over to the Google Play Store and you can try out Google Slides to create slide decks and things on your phone and or tablet. And more importantly, all three, Docs, Sheets, and Slides, can now edit Microsoft Office format files, Doc, Excel, and PowerPoint, without conversion. So you can keep it in native format, which is really neat.
That is very, very helpful. It's interesting. Google, I can understand Sheets and I can understand Docs, but it seems like for whatever reason, in the ecosystem of slide decks, PowerPoint is still king. And I don't know how much longer Microsoft can keep that, but it's one of the only products I know that Microsoft makes that no one really argues against. Even though, for example, I've used Keynote now for a few years and been pretty happy with that transition. So hopefully Google will make a little bit of headway, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see Google eventually kill off slides other than just to read and work with PowerPoint, because I don't see people doing native things in it, but that's just my thought on it.
Yeah, and you know, interesting, I don't know if it's because my current job is so different from what I used to do before, but I don't think I've made a PowerPoint slide deck in the last year or two at all. Which is,
have you used something else, or are you just not giving presentations?
I apparently am not giving presentations now that I think about it, which is kind of interesting. You know, I used to do it. I used to kid the people that I program in PowerPoint in the old days, because half of, you know, as an active software developer during that time, I spent half my time giving presentations, if not more. So it was. I kind of lived in PowerPoint more than I did in my editor, which was kind of interesting.
Well, and then there's other tools as well. Have you ever used Prezi.com, Prezi?
You know, I've heard of it. I think I might have an app installed on my phone or something, but I can't say I've used it.
I've used it. It's really good for non-linear presentation. So if, for example, you have a presentation that you're going to be jumping around in, or you want to zoom in on different parts, it really shines for that. I've used it for a couple of things, but in general, I don't think we're quite ready for non-linearity in slide presentation yet, but it's a cool alternative that isn't from any big company. And they have a free tier, and then they also have an education tier, and then some premium tiers that are a few features additional on each of those.
Okay. In fact, I think wasn't Prezi one of your app picks a while back?
I don't think so, but it might have been.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. And my last googly topic is relatively new. I think it's within the last week. Is if you're an Android user of a relatively recent vintage phone, mostly a Nexus-type phone, you're probably pretty familiar with Google's Photosphere camera for Android, which is a really, really interesting app that lets you take not 360 degrees, but 360 degrees in every direction. So it's like the name says, it's a complete sphere. Mm-hmm. And it's very time-consuming, so I don't use it as much as I wish I could, because you have to stand there a couple of minutes just to take one photo. But when you do, the output is amazing. You can zoom in on spots. You can turn around. You can use the compass to actually turn and see photos as you turn in space. And you can post it to Google+. Other social media-type things a little bit more difficult to post a sphere to. And previously, you could not see a sphere on a iOS device, so you had to be at a desktop on an Android device to see a actual output from this thing. But now, Google has released Photosphere camera for iOS, so if you've got an iPhone or iPad, you can create and view these spheres, which I have to say, if you haven't tried it, and you should, if you've got an iPhone or iPad, load this thing up. When you've got a few minutes, and you really will need a few minutes per photo, stand in the center of something, take a photo. You'll have a lot of fun. You can actually see some of my stuff on Google Maps. If you go to Google Maps Honolulu Capital District area, and you go to, say, the state capital for Hawaii or some other spots around that area, you'll see, I think, two or three of my Google Spheres linked to Google Maps. So you can check out some of the stuff I've done on it if you're interested, or you just want to see what the state capital looks like from the center of it. Hawaii State Capitol, for those of you who don't know, is not a solid building. So basically, the center is a courtyard type where you can see the sky from the center of the building, going up five stories or so, and you can see sort of outdoors while you're standing in the middle of the building. It's supposed to be shaped like a cinder cone, like a volcano. But in any case, there's that. And so, John, you've got some Apple-y type topics on your list of things to talk about.
Yeah. And just going back to the photo series for a second, I've actually used an app for a few years now on iOS that does basically the same thing. I'll be happy to try Google's app, but they are really cool to play with. And while you were talking, I kind of pulled up one of mine from when I was back home in Ohio over Christmas, and I kind of stood in the backyard and took this whole sphere, and it really is much more immersive than you would ever think with just what we're used to in a regular one-shot sort of situation.
Right, or even a panorama.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the couple of topics I have, first of all, if you own an iPhone 5 and you've had some battery issues, there's a limited battery recall going on for the 5 right now. You can go to a website that we'll link up with the notes for this show that lets you throw in your serial number. It'll tell you if you're eligible. I myself have burned through 2 iPhone 5s already, so my iPhone 5 is not eligible. Because it's about a year old. I have this knack of killing compasses on the iPhone 5 that I'm not exactly sure how I do. But, I'm really good at it. And so I'm on my third iPhone 5. The other couple of topics I have relate to what's coming up and what we thought was coming up years ago. So if you've been listening to the last few months that I've been the regular guest contributor on here, I talk about smartwatches. Todd has lamented the loss of his Microsoft Spot watch numerous times, and we won't get into that because I don't have tissues handy that I can get to Hawaii in a
I might cry.
Yeah. But the iWatch has been rumored for quite some time now. If you remember, if you've been following it, it was rumored about 2 years ago to be in development. And then about a year ago, Apple rumors said, you know, the brakes are put on. It's not going to come out until 2014 because, actually, I think it was December 2012. It was, okay, it's not coming out until 2014, which was a huge pushback. And my personal opinion is that was because the Pebble was released and Apple said, ooh, we can't let our iWatch look like something that's already out there. And so it went a massive retuning. That was also the time the fitness trackers were coming out. And so many analysts now are predicting that the iWatch will not only do kind of notifications and extension of your phone, but also do fitness tracking. The problem, apparently, according to some of the more reliable rumor purveyors in the Apple ecosystem, is that the iWatch might now be pushed to 2015 because of supply chain problems. So whatever Apple is doing, they obviously pushed it back once already to do it right, and now they might be forced to push back a little further for supply chain.
Yeah, it looks like the iWatch is going to become Apple's dukum nukum forever.
Well, yeah, but at least that did ship eventually.
It took over 10 years, but yeah.
So, I'm of the opinion, I've been very happy with my Pebbles. I just started wearing the Pebble Steel more often the last couple of weeks just because I figure if I have the Pebble Steel, I might as well wear it more than just the Kickstarter Pebble. But I don't mind if I have to be on the Pebble for another year before I get to see an iWatch. I have parakeets that are flying around behind me at this very moment.
I like the sound, dude. Nice ambient sound.
It's a very fluttery sound. I live with parakeets, and they like to make themselves known occasionally. Anyway, I'm kind of indifferent. I'd like to have an iWatch. I really would like to see what Apple's take is on it, but if it has to be pushed back, it has to be pushed back.
Yeah, you know, and in fact, as you said, I've been lamenting the loss of my Microsoft Spot watch, which was turned off January 1st, 2012, so almost 2 years now. Maybe was it 2011? 2012, I think. So I haven't had a watch on my wrist since then, and I've got a nice tan now where there used to be kind of a pale area on my wrist. But still, I would, I really am a watch person. You know, I'm kind of that age. I'm not one of these 20-year-olds who don't wear watches. So I really would like something that I would like to wear. But I just don't want to wear any old watch. I want to wear something I like. And there's nothing I like out there. The Moto 360 sounds interesting, so I'm kind of waiting for that to be released. At $250, it's not the cheapest watch in the world, but given all it may do for me, you know, $250 is not bad. It's cheaper than most phones.
And that is the price of the Pebble Steel. So, you know, it's not absorbently high for what it can do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Watches, I tried doing the no watch thing for a long time because I didn't have a watch I liked. Just the same kind of situation you have. I had one of the Spot watches. I had one of the Fossil Spot watches. If I remember right, it actually went defective about 6 months after I got it, and so I stopped using it. But I really would like to see what happens, especially as someone who has been living in the Apple ecosystem pretty much exclusively, although I do use some third-party stuff and I use some Google stuff here and there. I use Google for my email. It is kind of a fun thing to see what happens, and hopefully I'm just jonesing for new gadgets at this point. You know,
I've been
on the same stuff for too long.
And although at first, my first thought, you know, when the Pebble came out and all of that, my first thought was, well, you know what? I'm just going to wait for Apple. If it takes a year or two, so be it. But in the intervening period since then, you know, since 2012 when I lost my Spot watch, Google Now appeared. And at first, Google Now was useless. In fact, I think I may have even written that Google Now is useless to me. But it has become useful to me over the last 6 to 12 months, I think. And if Google Now has a good user experience on a Moto 360, I think that's going to be a good choice for me. So I'm certainly going to give that some serious consideration. And if Apple's delayed, they may be the Windows Phone of their product line. You know, basic Windows Phone is too little, too late.
Potentially, although that would be a new position for Apple to find themselves in.
Yeah.
No, what you don't know is that at the Googleplex, there's a whole Todd devoted team on the Now. You know, they've just been reading everything you haven't been liking about it and just adding in features.
If only right that now, were true.
Right now in Mountain View, there's just rejoicing like crazy as they listen to this. You know, going, finally, we got Ogasawara. That Westfall guy still thinks Google Now is useless, but who cares about him?
Okay, and what else? Before I forget, I wanted to say that I did go and check that iPhone 5 battery site that Apple has up, and like you, I didn't think about it until you mentioned it, but I think I'm on my third iPhone 5 also. I think the first one got traded in because the battery was overheating, and the second one was because the home button stopped working. So.
Yeah, I had on one of mine the home button start to go, but the compass also was dead on that one. That was the first iPhone 5 I had. And then the second one, so my theory was that the OtterBox Defender case that I would put it in for a while and then clip it to my belt was killing the compass.
I remember that theory.
And I'm not sure, so I have a belt clip case for it right now that it's been in for a couple months and the compass is still working fine. So maybe it was a combination of pressure and my tendency to knock into things as I walk around. But I think that was probably the case for both of us. If we had still had our original iPhone 5s, we'd get replacement batteries.
Yeah.
But, we've had other issues to get new iPhones.
Yeah. And, you know, I have to say, you know, it's funny that we can kind of not be bitter about the experience, because with other phones, when things go wrong, it is often an excruciating experience to get it repaired or replaced. But I think if you were like me, you looked at your phone, you said, okay, I'm going to schedule a visit to the Genius Bar or give a call to Apple support, and it gets resolved in, like, minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is the thing that we forget sometimes about Apple is that, yeah, it is a pain, but I know when I had a hard drive die on one of my MacBooks, and it was just, okay, go in, take it in, boom, it's all done. You know, come back 2 hours later, and it's all ready for you. Same thing with the phones. I had issues with the iPad. So, A, on one hand, it's kind of disconcerting that I've had all these issues. You know, you would hope that Apple would have better quality control than for me to have as one person all of these things. But at least in a modern world where quality control can't head off all of those things, as long as you have support that you can basically just call them and they take care of you, it does make it much less annoying to the end user than say, well, I have no idea what to do if a Nexus device breaks.
Well, I can tell you what happens, but I've had that happen.
Can you do it in less than 20 minutes without using profanity?
Actually, you know, I have to say that when my Nexus 1 died several years ago under warranty, I gave a call to, or was it an email or call? I can't even remember now. But I you know, had some kind of communication with whatever support email address or phone number they had. I think it was a phone number. Gave a call. I think I was handed off once or twice, which is, you know, not, wasn't too painful to be handed off once or twice. And then I got some guy at their, you know, their third-party repair center. Might have been HTC made the Nexus One. But the guy kind of listened to my problem and said, try this. And I said, okay. He said, all right, we're going to replace it. And shipped out a new Nexus One with a you know, prepaid label to ship back my old one. So it was not too painful. I mean, it wasn't as easy as going to an Apple store because, you know, there is no Google store, yeah, at least where I live. I don't know if there are any place, but those barges are gone too. So, but it wasn't too painful, I have to say. It wasn't as painful as I thought it might be.
That's good. I think you know, you and I both lived through times when you were maybe the only person in the city that had a certain device.
In my case, the state.
Yeah. And so obviously at that point, it became much more painful. So maybe we're just old guys who think of every time there's a problem, the pain that it's going to be to get it fixed.
Yes.
And the new generation isn't aware of that.
Yes.
That being said, I think my nearest Apple store is probably in Memphis right now. That's a good 2-hour drive. So. Ooh. It would be a day trip if I wanted to go up there to get a replacement. But yeah. Not undoable, because typically it's less, you know, they can get you in and out in a day. So.
Yeah, yeah. My daughter is in a similar situation. Her university is in a nice town, but it doesn't have an Apple store. So she's about 1 hour and 15 minutes away from the nearest Apple store by car. And she doesn't have a car.
Yeah. So then she's functionally 100,000 miles away from the nearest Apple store.
Well, there is an Amtrak, you know, there's an Amtrak station nearby. So you could take the train down if you wanted to.
But then it costs, what, Amtrak for one stop is probably running like $85 one way?
No. I think it's about $15 one way. And, okay, you know, you can do shopping while you wait and, you know, stuff like that. So it's not too bad.
I know that on occasion when I was in New York, I looked at Amtrak to go from Croton Harmon, which was one of the commuter stations that I would stop at, to Penn Station, because I thought, you know, on occasion it might be easier to just go into Penn instead of going into Grand Central. And the pricing was just crazy on it for a 30-mile trip. It was something like, you know, $60.
Wow.
Yeah. It was New York. Everything's more expensive.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Although, you know, do I live in the most expensive city in the U.S.? I can't remember. I think we are the most expensive city in the U.S. now. I think Honolulu is.
Open your wallet and count the money, and you'll know who live in the
Count what money?
Yeah, well, then there you go. You have just answered the question.
What's money, in any rate? And finally, a rumor from the past.
Yeah, so as I was looking up the iWatch stuff to talk about today, I came across this write-up that Gizmodo had done about a month ago now. It was July 3rd that it was published, a little over a month ago. And it was the 6 early iPhone mock-ups that were dead wrong. And we forget sometimes. We take the iPhone for granted. We look at it, and we know that it not only revolutionized Apple's product lines, but also quite a bit to other devices. You know, Android took a lot from the way iOS looks, even though they can't really admit it legally. Windows Phone kind of got to this idea of, hey, we could have these big things instead of little tiny stylus pointing things, although Microsoft still hasn't quite got that idea. And so I just was looking through these, and we can put this link up, but some of these are just really wild. And they really remind you of a time before we thought people cared about touchscreens. So we've got things like the iPhone Flip, where you'd have a flip phone that looks very much like a Motorola, like MPX, or, you know, a bulky version of a Motorola Razr. But on the outside of it is an iPod. Looks just like a little iPod Nano, and on the inside of it is a screen that kind of looks Apple-y. The iPhone is a BlackBerry, so a slide-up that has the slide-up keyboard. Remember, there was an HTC device. I think it was, the code name was the Blue Angel. It's like the XDA3 that did this whole slide-up thing and was approximately the length of a sword by the time you slid it up and started working with it. And then, you know, an iPod Nano that just had phone buttons on it and maybe a little camera. So it's just interesting to see how far off we've been in the past. And these all make perfect sense in 2006 when they came out. And everyone, even at the way they look now, we look at it and go, man, those looked ugly. Everyone wanted them in 2006.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And it's kind of funny because it shows you that the vast majority of us, and I include myself in this vast majority, we only can imagine things that we already know about. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to push beyond what we know and think of something completely different. Although I have to say, I don't, you know, the original Windows Mobile devices were, you know, without the keyboard, were pretty close to what the first iPhone was in a lot of ways. But yeah. But that said, you know, as I heard these rumors of the iPhone, I remember thinking, wow, maybe it'll be like the G1 done right. I imagined, you know, a landscape keyboard sliding down that was really well designed instead of that awful thing on the G1. I imagined a little trackpad roller ball like on the G1, except, you know, a little bit bigger and easier to use, and a touchscreen. You know, I figured a touchscreen, no stylus, like the G1. You know, basically, I wanted a G1 that worked. And for those of you who don't remember, the G1 was the very first Android phone. In the U.S. at least, I think probably everywhere else, it was released by T-Mobile.
The first. And it's one of the few things that did not get sold in my great gadget purge. I still have my G1 sitting over here. You know, and I think about, as we were talking about these devices, it was 10 years ago this month that I picked up an HTC-made iPac 6315, which was T-Mobile's first HP-branded Pocket PC Phone Edition. So I don't know if you remember this one. It was the one that came, it looked like an iPac, although it had a little stubby antenna on it, and it had a detachable keyboard. So the keyboard.
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah. Let's see if I can shoot you. Pretend, listeners, that we're not doing this live, you know, or that we are doing this in somewhat live. I'll see if I can send a picture to Todd so he can jog his memory. But the thing that brought this up when you talked about an iPhone done right, or a G1 done right, is that this device, even though I wanted it really, really badly, it was a piece of junk. It was one of the worst Pocket PC phone editions I ever owned. I went through, I'm pretty sure, 9 of these things.
Oh, my goodness.
If I remember right. For a while, when I would call up T-Mobile support, they would put me on hold for a moment and then come back chuckling because they had read all the notes on my account.
Oh, wow.
And seen just and so this thing was the pure epitome of what you would say, I wish that someone would come out with blank, but do it right this time.
Right.
But it was a cool device. So many strange things happened to that thing. I remember one time it lost all of its figurative marbles, and Wi-Fi didn't work anymore, and Bluetooth would cause the whole phone to crash if you tried to turn it on. And and then funny story, about 6 years after it came out, I was at a data center, and I noticed that on the operator's desk there was one of these phones. And I looked at the guy and said, oh, you have an iPac 6315? And he goes, yeah. I said, how do you like it? And he goes, it's the best phone I've ever had. And I thought, you got the good one. You got the one that wasn't broken. Congratulations. But for the rest of us, it was the same thing. You know, you look at it, and actually, you're right. You look at that screenshot that I'm looking at right now, and it doesn't look too far off of what the first iPhone looked like.
Yeah.
Color, and, you know, you did have a start menu that had little icons.
Yeah. And a touchscreen.
That was 10 years ago. This month, August 2004.
You know, I did not have this phone. I'm looking at the screenshot now, the photo gallery now. And While I did not have this phone, I did have the 2215, which I think was the Pocket PC no phone version. And I had that keyboard from HP.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you could buy as an option.
Yeah, it was a pretty nice little device. And I still have sitting around here somewhere the 6915. Which this was the first generation HP, and then there was the 6515 that was the HP Mobile Messenger, and then the 6915 was an upgrade. It had GPS, and it had the keyboard built in. It looked kind of like a BlackBerry. But this one just, it was cool, but man, did it have a bunch of gremlins in it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the good old days, right? They weren't as good as we recall them sometimes.
Well, that being said, occasionally I admit I go on eBay and I search for that phone and think about getting one just to play with. because you know I had some good memories, but it would be a waste of time and money. But to relive the glory days,
Yeah. Okay, and I should mention to folks that this week John and I do not have a gadget review for video, because mostly because I don't have anything to review. John has something, but we'll postpone it until we both have something. I'll try to find something.
I actually have been having the same thing for the last month and a half. So, our hiatus on mostly mobile reviews continues. There are six of them up, though, on the YouTube channel, and other various places we'll be getting them shortly. Yeah. So. Mostly mobile reviews will return next week, but the hiatus for mobile views, I assume, is probably over, because I think our schedules have opened up quite a bit.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have. You have moved. My daughter is back in college. and fortunately, I think I have one more funeral to go to, but I've had a lot of funerals to attend this summer. In any case, this has been Mobile Views, number, 92. And if anybody wants to send us review units of stuff, please do. Just make sure that if you want it back, you have a postage paid return decal so we can ship it back to you on a timely basis and not cost us anything. John and I, just get in contact with John or me and ship us stuff, and we'll be happy to return it when we're done. Definitely. In any case, we will talk to you next time. Thanks for sticking with us through our hiatus. We'll talk to you again.